Imagine that you have worked for years in this community, volunteering, giving of your time and your talents and your abilities because you care about your community. You believe that it's your duty to do your part, and you've tried to do everything you can to make it a better community. And one day, a couple of those people that you only read about in the newspaper, you've never really met them, you know, they're real prominent people in the community, come to you and say, "We want to honor you for all you've done in the community. And we're going to have a little informal get-together down at the Prince Charles, and it's going to be on such and such a night, and we'd like you to join us." So that day comes, and you get ready, and you feel pretty good about getting to go to this special time with people you don't normally associate with, that you read about out of politics and on the social page. And you go down to the Prince Charles, and you ask where the room is, and you go up to one of the banquet halls. And, you know, you've dressed okay. You might wear a tie and a sport coat or you know, a nice dress if you're a woman. And you go, and they say, "Well, it's through those doors." And you open the door, and you go in, and everyone is dressed in evening gowns and tuxedos. And there you are. No one comes over to you to tell you where you're supposed to sit. And when you do finally find a place to sit down, you know, they start bringing out this fancy meal, and you never saw so many forks and knives and spoons by a plate in your life. And you're not sure which one to pick up in what order. You know, that's just a little bit like it was that night when Jesus went to the Pharisees' house. It's about what was proper. You know, what was the right thing to do. Here the Pharisees decided, well, you know, he's a pretty impressive teacher, and everybody's talking about him. Let's have him over, and I'll invite some of my Pharisee friends, and we'll just see what this guy Jesus is all about. And so he goes into their home, and he sits down at the table. Brooke, would you help me? Since you got slacks on, I wanted to ask you if you'd help me. All right, just kind of sit down on the floor. Okay, and put your feet behind you. There you go, like that. Now, you see, they would eat their meals at a low table, and they'd sit kind of like this. If you were paying attention when Troy was reading that scripture, it said there was a woman that was behind him, and her tears fell on his feet. That's how it would happen. Or sometimes they stretched out a little bit. But how about just lean on that hand and stretch your feet back this way a little more, which would make it even more like that. Now, that's not the way we sit down at the table, but that's the way they did in Jesus' day. And the woman was standing there, just in his holy presence, tears streaming down her cheeks and dropping on the feet of our Lord. Thank you, darling. Now, Jesus was a little bit insulted. He was most insulted by the idea that they were judging that woman. And he told them a little story to make a point. He says, if you owe a really big debt, and somebody just comes up to you and say, "You don't have to pay that back," how grateful would you be? I don't know. When I look at my debts, I'd be real grateful. But, you know, I really don't believe Bank of America is going to call and say, "Hey, we're just going to cancel that credit card debt you have." I'd be real thankful, real grateful. And the Pharisees answered, "Yeah, that's a good thing." He says, "What if somebody just, you know, lets you get by with a couple of dollars? Who is the most thankful? Who is the most grateful?" Well, of course, the one who was forgiven the bigger debt. And yet they were judging the woman who stood quietly behind Jesus, whose tears were falling on his feet. And in humility, she She bent down there and she tried to dry his feet with her hair. And then later, she took this expensive oil and she anointed his feet. Jesus was so moved. On the one hand, he was moved by the beauty and the sincerity and the humility of this woman who was known as a sinner. But he was moved in another way. He was probably a little angry and irritated that these fine gentlemen in their fine clothing and robes, in their fine house, sitting at their fine table, could spend so much time judging another person the way they did. And he looked at the Pharisee, Simon, and told him, he says, "You know, I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet." That was just courtesy. In a dusty, parched land like Palestine, dirt streets, you needed to wash a couple of times a day, at least your hands and your feet and your face, because of the dust. And yet this is such a big shindig here with all these fancy Pharisees. You didn't even offer me water to wash my feet. Common courtesy. And yet this woman has washed my feet with her tears. And another thing. It's not just courtesy. You gave me no kiss. There was no affection in your invitation to your house. He might have gone on to say, you just wanted to play with me and catch me in something to complain about. But you didn't greet me with a holy kiss. You know, St. Paul says, greet one another with a holy kiss. That was a show of affection. And he said, you didn't do that. Yet she has not stopped kissing my feet. Finally, you didn't honor me by offering to anoint my head with oil. But you didn't really invite me here to honor me. And yet, she has anointed me, anointed my feet. You see, the problem is, if we don't have room in our hearts to receive the Messiah, the Christ, we're not even going to treat him with much more than courtesy, if that. Certainly not with affection, and undoubtedly without honor. We have to make room for God to be present in our lives. St. Teresa of Avila wrote a book several centuries ago called The Interior Castle. And she talked about the spiritual house we build within ourselves to house the goodness of God in Christ Jesus that would dwell in us. How much room have we made in our spiritual house for Christ Jesus? Or at best, do we just treat him with a little bit of courtesy? Occasionally kiss him on the cheek, which might not be a whole lot better than what Judas did. And rarely, maybe even honor him. How much room is set aside in your life for Christ to possess? If you think of your house, of your life as a house, you know, John Wesley said that prevenient grace was the porch where God reached out to bring you to him. And the door of the house was salvation, but sanctification, holiness, was going inside the house. As Jesus prepared to leave this earth, he told his disciples, "In my Father's house are many rooms." How much room have you made for Jesus in your life? Does he get a whole room? Or is he just relegated to a closet? Or does he even get a whole closet in your life? Maybe it's just a shoebox up on the top shelf in the back. Or maybe it's not even that much space, maybe within that shoebox is another tiny little box. And that's all the part of you you're really willing to give to Jesus. Do we really make any more room in our lives for Jesus than the Pharisees did the night he invited them there? Are we so filled with the joy of his presence that we're like the woman who's just weeping to be in the presence of that much holiness, giving everything she has, humbling herself to the lowest degree just because she's in the presence of Jesus? Well, you know, if God is going to be rich and vital in our lives, we've got to give him room. We've got to make room for him. We've got to throw out some of the clutter. We've got to open up some of the doors and raise the blinds and the shutters and let the light in and let Christ dominate our lives. So that being embarrassed by what other people think doesn't bother us a bit. It's about being in his holy presence and he being in us. That's why Paul said in Galatians, I am crucified in Christ. I die to myself and I live to him. You see, Jesus doesn't want a place in your spiritual house. He wants you to sign over the mortgage to him and he'll take care of all the debt. He wants it all. So you can enjoy living there, free from debt, because he makes life real for us all. How much room have you made in your life for Jesus? Jesus turned to the woman and said, your sins have been forgiven. Your faith, the room you made in your heart for me, has made you whole. Go in peace. Be whole. Complete for now and forever. Amen. Father God, we thank you that you've given us your Son, and yet we many times close him out of our lives, or we just keep him in a drawer up on a shelf, or try to keep him in a little box so he doesn't get in the way of what we want, not realizing that everything that we want and could ever desire to be complete and whole will be given to us freely if we just let him have the run of our spiritual house, fill us with his presence. For we need it to be your people. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.